In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated, won't you? Well, good morning. This morning's gospel has within it one of the great secrets of Christianity and one of the great secrets of faith in general, which is that faith, rather than being something that makes the world more comfortable and more secure and safer feeling, is actually something that breaks the world open and disrupts your sense of safety and security and certainty in things. One of the odder things about faith is that it's not there just to comfort us, but it's also there to provoke us. It's there, as Jesus says, to crack us open. And it's there to crack us open so that we'll have much more life later than we do now. But we don't really like that kind of message. We're not hardwired for it. We're not naturally oriented to it. No grain of wheat, the ones that Jesus says have to fall to the ground and be covered over, no grain of wheat wants to go through that process. We'd rather, if it were left up to us, we'd rather stay in our shells, wouldn't we? In our lives, we'd rather take the comfortable and the familiar, the place where we feel protected and defended. We'd rather have the sense of strength that a hard covering around our outside will give us than go through all the trouble and travail of being broken open by our very lives and becoming what it is we're meant to be. It's a hard thing, isn't it? But it's exactly what faith demands of us. It's exactly what Jesus demands of us. It's exactly what we're meant to do with our very lives. And anyone who's sort of had a young child or watched someone grow up or grown up ourselves, those of us who are able to remember it, sort of knows that that's how it goes, right? You sort of start out, if you're lucky enough to, you start out in a pretty safe place. And then you enter a really scary world. And then you kind of get used to that world. And then you go a little farther. And then you encounter more scary things. And over and over again, life sort of breaks open the familiar. Life sort of cracks the shell of what you're used to. Life gives you something you weren't expecting. Now, the message of faith is that when that breaking open happens, God's in the middle of it. When that breaking open, those unexpected things happens, God's right there. And God loves you in the midst of everything ripping apart, everything falling apart. God loves you in the midst of those moments in your life when you feel least certain of anything. And God's going to be there on the other side when you find the life there that you were meant to have after. And God will bring you into that life, and God will glorify you in that life. God will raise you up, as God raised up his own Son, into that newness. But that doesn't make it fun. It doesn't make it easy, and it doesn't kind of invite us naturally into doing it. One of my favorite parts about this gospel is the sort of bystanders in it. You have these couple of Greek travelers who have gone to Jerusalem to be part of the festival. And Greeks at this moment in history had sort of been there, done that. They'd sort of seen it all. The Greeks had had a great military empire, and that had kind of gone by the wayside. They'd had the great epic stories and great philosophers. They'd had wonderful nation-states and a trading empire. That had all sort of been concluded at this point, and they were a Roman state. And so Greeks were sort of in the world, walking around the world, learning about the world. Having seen so much of it, my sense is that these guys are more or less Greek tourists. And they've kind of done the ancient equivalent of traveling to the state fair, right? They've gone to the massive celebration of the temple, and while for the Jews that would be the center of their worship, the center of their life, these Greek travelers maybe have just come to see the spectacle. I'm not quite sure what to make of their question or their hope. Sir, we would see Jesus. Would you please show us Jesus? Maybe they'd heard a little bit of his teaching. Maybe they were early followers. But my suspicion is that they kind of just wanted to see the guy that everyone was talking about. They wanted to know what the buzz was, right? But like so many people, I think these Greeks went there and got more than they bargained for. And that's kind of what happens in the life of faith. We sort of go to it. We go to see something. We go to hear something. We go maybe because we're curious about what the buzz is all about. We go to see what it is that the church might have to offer, or a temple might have to offer. We go to listen and hear what it is that Christians have to say about the world. And instead of going away with a little more information or maybe a fun story to tell over the dinner table, we find in it something that's provoking us to change. We find in it something that's calling on us to be cracked open. I think if any of us were to actually sit down in a room with Jesus, we would be overwhelmed by the possibility of new life that he'd offer us. Can you picture that? Could you imagine sort of sitting across a table with Jesus? When I was a young man, we did a youth group video, and we were all supposed to say who we'd want to have dinner with if we could have dinner with anyone in history. And you know, Jesus was sort of the right answer, and I sort of famously, in a story that my mom won't let me live down now, said, like, well, I probably would want to have dinner with Jesus, but I feel like I kind of know the guy already, so maybe someone like Mozart or Beethoven would be really interesting. I don't speak German, so I don't know why I thought that. But can you imagine really being in a room with Jesus, having him talk to you about your life, about what's going on with it right now? Can you imagine asking him a question like, what do you hope I'll do next? What do you hope I'll be in 5 years? What do you hope that I will be in my relationships? What do you think he might say? I'll tell you one thing. It won't be, the words that you'd hear back would not be, oh, everything's fine. Just keep doing what you're doing. There'd be something that's called on to grow. There'd be something that's called on to be more alive than you are now. And that's God's hope for all of us constantly, is that we'll keep having this abundant life. That metaphor of the grain of wheat that falls to the ground and gets buried over. And it's a hard thing to do, right? To be a seed underground, away from the light, in the soil, sort of not knowing what's coming next, and being broken open only to find that there was a huge plant inside, right? Only to find that if you send out your roots into the soil around you, maybe there are good things there. Maybe there's water there. Maybe there's nutrition. And as you sort of reach back out into the light, there's nourishing sunshine there that will cause you to grow larger than you ever imagined being when you were just that seed. I think that image of being covered over, that image of being buried, is a really telling one, because Jesus, after all, went through it, right? He spent that time there in the tomb. He spent that time in a moment when his followers didn't know what was coming next. He spent that time kind of hidden away, where the way forward didn't make sense to anyone, where no one could see what was coming next, no one could see the life that he would have afterwards, no one could see what was going to happen to the mission, the ministry, the word of God that Jesus had come to bring. For those 3 days, all those years ago, the ones who had come to follow him, the ones who had given up their lives to be part of what Jesus had to offer, the people who had dropped everything to be the people of Jesus, the people of God, didn't know what was coming next. For those 3 days, everything was buried. Everything was covered over. There wasn't the light of day. But things opened up again, didn't they? Things cracked open all over again. That stone, as we all have heard, that stone would be rolled away and that new life would be there. And it would be so glorious that the people wouldn't even recognize it at first. They had to be taught all over again what that life would mean, what the Word of God meant, who Jesus was, what the Messiah was. They'd had to learn this new life. But the new life was much greater than the old life. The Word of God working in the world ever since then has done more than a military Messiah having driven out the Romans ever would have done. And we're invited to be a part of it and to keep doing that work in the world today. We're invited to be those plants that are bearing a lot of fruit. There's another parable about seeds and plants that Jesus tells, where a sower, which is God, sort of scatters seeds around on the different parts of the soil, and the seeds are sort of the word and the teachings, and the soil is sort of us, our own hearts in that story. And so some of the seeds will fall on paths and rocky ground and in amongst thorns, and if the seed falls on a path, a bird might come and snatch it up and take it away if it's not allowed to kind of get buried over and take root. Or if it falls on the rocky ground, it might not have enough in the soil there to nourish it. And the plants that grow there will just get scorched by the sun. They won't have enough health. They won't have enough depth. And if it falls in amongst the thorns will just sort of choke off God's word, and something else will grow instead. But every once in a while, the seeds fall on good soil instead. Every once in a while, the seeds fall in places where they can take root and find nourishment and grow, can kind of break the soil all over again and come into new life. That's God's hope for us. And I'll tell you something that is my experience of God, is that if the sower scatters the seed and our soil isn't ready yet, the seed's going to come again and again and again until we are ready. God's not going to give up on us. God's going to keep giving us those invitations to do that hard work of being covered over by dirt and seeing what happens next. Maybe it's happened in your life. Maybe it's happened in your life a number of times. Maybe it's happening in your life now that something is cracking open all over again. Some new life is starting to sprout forward. Some little piece of spring is emerging from beneath the ground. And there's some new thing that you're being called on to be in the world, that God's whispering in your ear or in your heart, that God's inviting you to do in one of your relationships or in your community or in your family or maybe here in this place. But what I can tell you is that over and over again, those seeds are going to be sown. And we're going to be invited to that new life that God offers, that new life that Jesus promised, the resurrection life of all Christian people. Over and over again, we're going to be invited to break open and grow and be bigger than we were before. Be more loving, be more merciful, be a brighter example for a world that needs those things. And God's going to go through it with us. All the hard stages of it, all the hard parts of breaking, all the hard parts of growing, all the moments of uncertainty and unknowing, those dark times when it seems like we're under the ground or in the tomb. Those are moments where God's more deeply with us than ever. And God's inviting us to grow forth from those moments and find the people we've been invited to be on the other side. My prayer for you this week is that you can find those places in your own life, that you can find the stuff in the soil around you that you're called to take in, and that if the soil around you is bad, that you can find a place that has better soil, a place to move to that will give you what you need so that you can grow, so you can get out beyond your shell, so you can have life and have it abundantly. Because that's God's hope for you. It's God's invitation to you, and it's where God will be meeting you in the life to come. All these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.